Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Mock, and this is now the eighth episode in our Resisting Gossip series by Matthew Mitchell's book. And this is the third and final lesson of the resisting portion. We looked two times ago of resisting gossip by having charitable judgments, and then last time, resisting gossip with edifying speech. And this time, we are looking at resisting gossip through godly listening. So, godly listening, we can take Proverbs 17:4 as a starting point. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So, a good doer, someone who does well, someone who is faithful, someone who loves the Lord and tries to do works in keeping with faith and repentance, that person is not going to listen to wicked lips and is not going to give his ear to a mischievous tongue. So gossip, remember, is not just about our speaking, but it's also about our listening. And how we listen is determined by why we listen. So Matthew Mitchell offers us a number of ways to think about listening instead of gossip. And just we can start off by saying, if someone starts giving what sounds like gossip, you don't have to plug your ears and say, la, 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 I'm not listening to you. Stop, 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 stop. You don't have to do that. Okay. And there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to every encounter in which gossip might be uttered, but there are many things that we can think about to help us wisely approach someone's communication. Remember, gossip is speaking bad words behind someone's back from a bad heart. So the first thing that the author of the book commends to us is that we would pray and weigh. Proverbs 15:28 instructs us, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. This is very similar to James' words, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. The righteous, those who trust in Christ, those who love the Lord with all their heart, or who seek to love the Lord with all that they are and all they have, including their ears, they ponder how to answer. They're not quick to give a reply. But that's the reverse for the wicked. Wicked is just pouring forth speech, evil things, without any care of the wisdom or folly of that communication. So remember, we're also told in James 1 to ask God, if any of us lacks wisdom, which is all of us, if anyone lacks wisdom whenever we're going through a particular trial, and we can extrapolate that principle to all of life. We need wisdom for all of life. And that wisdom is found in the Word of God. We need to then consult God's Word and pray and consider what God would have us say, if anything. So we're praying and weighing, and Mitchell gives us a number of questions just to think through. I'm not going to elaborate on these, but just give you most of the ones that he lays out for us, some questions that you need to ask yourself when you are listening to possibly gossip. What is really going on in the situation? It's always good to get the facts first. What is my relationship to the person talking? What is my relationship to the person that's being talked about? Do I have a relationship with that person or not? How serious is this gossip? Is it a lie? Is it rumor? Or is it truth? Remember, gossip can be speaking things that that are true, but being done through a false sense of humility or false sense of desire for truth, could be just from a bad heart. What effects might this story have on other people? So if this story gets out, if I share it, or if I'm asked to be involved in its solution, what kind of effect will this story have when it gets out to people? It might have a damaging effect. It might be very insignificant. Is this, whatever is being gossiped about, is this truly shameful? Or is it just an oddity, a strange thing that the person did? Why is this story being told? You might not know why. And a good thing as a listener is to ask the person who is sharing the story, why are you telling me this? Do you want me to do something about this? Do you want me to help you solve this problem? I'm going to help you think through this. Why are you telling me this? Is this, whatever that's being shared, is this the focus of the conversation? Or is this just passing through in the conversation that you're having? If it's the focus of the conversation, then it should be more of a focus on how you should deal with it. If it's just passing through, you might consider just allowing it to pass without any further comment. Does this conversation fit how we've been describing gossip as bearing bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart? So these are a number of questions that we can ask ourselves as we are praying and weighing whether or what to do, if anything. Another thing that Matthew Mitchell offers us to do is to avoid, if possible, to not go near a gossiper. So Proverbs 20, verse 19, for instance, says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets." That, there's the gossiper. He's going about slandering, kind of like the spy. We talked about that. "Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." As far as it is within your power, we should not associate. You should not associate with someone who's known to be a gossip. Of course, we know the kind of effect that a gossip can have on us. We might be tempted to add gossip to gossip. We might be tempted to add sympathy to someone wherein sympathy is not warranted, wherein a rebuke, rather, is warranted. We don't want to be fellow gossipers and condone that kind of behavior. And we don't want to know things about people, bad things about people, that are not shared with us in confidence, that we can help bring someone to a solution for. So we want to avoid the gossiper as much as possible. We want to talk to someone else instead, if there's an option of a couple people down the hall at church, at the pews, somebody who you know to be a gossiper, another you don't. Avoid the gossiper. And that's unfortunate. But I think it's one way to maintain purity of the church. Involve yourself in good communication. And so if you know, this is kind of like, don't go near a strip club. Okay? Don't go near a bar if you're going to be tempted to get drunk. Don't go near a gossiper if you're going to be tempted to join in the gossip. You don't know what that person's going to say. He may mention some gossip. He may not. So it's difficult. And if you had to choose to communicate with someone who's not a gossip. Of course, this doesn't mean that you must be rude, or you see a gossip and you have to pull a Joseph and just run away. Okay, you don't necessarily have to do that. You can have good conversations even with gossips. This is just a warning if you can avoid communicating with gossip, just because of the damaging effect that gossip has, then do so. It's not always possible. We know this. Maybe the gossip is your parent. Maybe the gossip is your boss, your spouse. And if that's the case, then I recommend that that you avoid not the person, it's unavoidable, but avoid the topic. Perhaps a loved one, family member has a typical topic of that gossip is around, but maybe about a typical person, and that person loves to gossip about, you know, that crazy aunt, or that rebellious kid. If that's the case, try to suggest other topics of conversation that would be edifying speech. Proverbs 26:20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Do you want to play a role in the cessation of quarreling and gossip? Well, then don't add any wood to the fire. Another step that we can take, another approach to listening to gossip, if we can't avoid it, is covering. So Proverbs 10:12 and 17:9 both speak about love covering all offenses. Gossip is the opposite of covering. Gossip reveals the secrets of someone, the bad news of someone. Covering, obviously, hides those bad secrets. Now, this is not to say that we are sweeping sin under the rug. It's not to say that we're not handling real gossip, real sin, real, and even if the gossip is true, it's shameful. It's not like we're saying, let's get rid of, let's just say there's nothing to see here and not address the problem at all. Those texts is talking about people who are uninvolved, people who have no right to the table to help solve whatever problem there might be. So in that matter, the people who are uninvolved should simply overlook it and say, well, that's not my concern. I was not brought in to speak to this. Now that I know about it, I can pray for a resolution, and if someone wants my wisdom, whatever wisdom I might have, then I'll offer it. But if those solicitations aren't being offered, then you hide it and you don't spread the secret. You know, if someone, and this happens a lot, doesn't it? If someone says, you know, I don't think I should be telling you this. At that point, people will say, oh, come on, you're just out with it. Tell us, you've already told us that there's something maybe salacious, something significant that is to tell. So go ahead, spit it out. Sometimes the person who says, I don't think I should be telling you this, is just toying with the audience and is wanting them to get it out of them. Other times they are saying that because they're not actually sure. In either case, we who are listening to this or who are about to listen to it would do well to commend the person who's struggling with sharing. Say, well, I'd encourage you not to share. If you're struggling with whether or not you should share it, then don't share it right now. Respect that person, or put it as an encouragement or a compliment. I commend you for not wanting to share some very sensitive information with someone who probably doesn't have a right to hear it. So commend them. That's encouraging good deeds. And then finally, after praying and weighing, avoiding or covering, there is another step, is just go. Matthew 18:15, you're going to a brother. Don't just receive a story. If the cat's out of the bag, you hear the story, don't just receive it. Now you've been brought in. So now you're put in a position to do something about it. Go to the person to hear their side of the story, or offer to go with the gossip and say, Yeah, offer to go with the person who shared the story. It sounds like this really bothers you. It sounds like this is a concern of yours. Would you like me to go with you and talk with this person about what you're concerned about? I'd love to do that. I'd love to help you and support you in this way. But it's a significant thing for you to bring up to me, and I want to take that seriously. So let me help you. Want to go? I'll go with you. That's a good way of teaching that person who shares a story that if they tell you something, you're going to require action. You're going to say, let's do something about it. And you won't just be a listening ear to have its, fill of gossip. You desire to solve a problem, to restore a brother, reconcile, or confront sin, whatever it is. So that should be a help to the person who shares. Praying and weighing, we're avoiding if possible, covering when we can as well, and we are inviting ourselves when we hear something to go and be a help to the person to solve the problem so that it doesn't reach more ears than necessary, so that the matter is solved quickly and resolution is obtained and reconciliation, restoration, the things that God is about, the purity of the church. We want these things to take place in our individual lives, our conversations with one another, the church life at large as well. So I think these are good steps to take, good courses of action to do when we are listening to gossip. Next episode, we will do a three, we'll start three final episodes on responding to gossip. See you then. Goodbye.